ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
How happy are you with your choice of career? If the occupation you chose as a younger person is no longer your vibe, you're not alone. Hello, Lisa Leong here for This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. Lots of people get to a point in life where they're at career crossroads and they're not sure what to do about it. So let's get you some help with that. If you've experienced career regret yourself, how did you handle it? And what lessons can you share for others who might be at a career crossroad? You can email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. Leah Lambart is an interview and career coach. Welcome back, Leah.
Thanks, Lisa. Great to be here.
Now, there was a recent SEEK report which showed that more than half of people surveyed experienced career regret. What do you make of this?
I think the stat was 52%, which really it doesn't surprise me because I see people every day who are experiencing this and they are experiencing it for a number of different reasons. So for some people, the report showed that it might be financial reasons. For others, it's a change in their interests or their passions. And a lot of the people that come to see us are looking for something to do that's perhaps more meaningful.
You mentioned financial reasons. Do you think this high number could then be a cost of living effect, Leah?
I definitely think at the moment, a lot of people are looking, particularly some of the younger early career, are starting to think, I need to earn more money. I need to find a job where I can have more career progression to achieve a higher income.
You also mentioned that one of the biggest reasons cited for career regret was people's passions and interests might have changed. How common is this in your experience?
Very common. I think the problem with that is that so many people make fairly hasty decisions on their initial career choice. And for many of us, we perhaps didn't have the advantage of having career guidance at school or after school. And so we might have followed what well-meaning parents had advised us to do, or perhaps just did what was popular at the time. So I think for a lot of people, they just rushed into careers and didn't do the research and didn't really test those ideas out.
And is this the problem with the, you know, sunk cost fallacy? So if you pay money to get some sort of degree or certificate, then you somehow feel like, well, I've done that now, I've got to keep on going.
I do see that people who are in careers where perhaps they have done a lot more study, so let's take law or medicine, for example, often those people, they've put a lot of years into it, might be 10 years of study, and they've also got to a point in their career where maybe they're earning a really high income. So that definitely makes career change, the fear of perhaps having to take a big step back or the fear of losing status, what will other people think, that definitely plays out.
And then let's go through the flip side then. What about the person who is feeling stuck in their career, mainly because they don't feel like they're earning enough money for the work that they're putting in now, Leah?
Yeah, see that again all the time. So people who are working really hard and perhaps seeing friends, family who are working equally hard but earning a lot more money. So they are saying, well, this isn't fair. I'm putting all this effort in and I can't afford to take the family on a holiday. I'd like to earn more too. So they're looking for career options where they can have more earning potential.
Does it really matter at the end of the day that you regret your career, that you even use the term regret? Don't most people have many jobs in their careers?
I think people who are experiencing this, you need to forgive yourself that if you did make a choice that wasn't the best choice, we can only choose with the information we have at the time. And these days, people will make, you know, particularly the younger generation, they might have 5, 6, or even 7 career changes. So we can only really make the career choice with the information we have. And I think for people who have got to that point where perhaps they are feeling stuck, it's okay to look at other career options, but remember that the grass isn't always greener.
All right. Well, let's look at what to do then when we're feeling a bit stuck or even career regret. What's the first step to figuring out what you want to do next?
First step is that self-assessment. So really understanding yourself, where are your natural strengths? What are your interests? What are your values? And what motivates you in the workplace?
Is there some sort of place I could go to understand myself better, like even an assessment? Do you have a free one that you could advise us on?
Yeah, look, there are lots of free assessments around. There's the 16 personalities. There's Truity, which is another website that's got some great information. Knowing your strengths is really important because when we work with our strengths, the research tells us that we feel more energized, we feel less stressed, we're more productive. So there's lots of different strengths assessments you can do. There's the Gallup, there's the VIA character strengths. So there's some free strengths assessments out there that you can also do just to really uncover where your natural strengths are.
What's the role of values?
Values is like your guiding light. So I always think of it as a guiding light or a compass. If your values are not aligned, then there's a high chance that you won't be feeling fulfilled and satisfied. And our values change a lot over time. So what our values were when we were 20 and we chose our first career might be very different later in life once you've had a family.
I guess if we don't understand our values, that could be underpinning a lot of this feeling of career regret, but us not knowing why.
Absolutely. So often it's going through this self-assessment process that you realise what's missing. Once you know that, then it's working out, well, what are the other career options where you might have more values alignment, for example. And then the next step is researching those and really spending time. Might be online research to start with, and then reaching out to people doing work in those areas and perhaps at different stages of their careers. So you can really interview them and get a warts and all view of what that career would involve.
How far should you take all that research?
I think take it as far as you can. I think that's the big piece that's missing in a lot of people who make career choices. They just don't do the research. Often, you know, sometimes people might go and do that research and then actually decide to stay in their careers. And that's okay, but at least they're making an informed choice and they feel like they may actually feel more satisfied that they've at least explored what else is out there.
Leah, what if I'm listening and I'm saying, this is all good and well, but do I really have to love my job? Isn't this maybe a new concept?
I feel like there's definitely more pressure to love your job. And for most people, if you can find a job that you are happy 70% of the time, that's great. I think there's always going to be pros and cons of every job.
All right. Can you give us an example of someone you've been working with that is at a career crossroads and making a change and how they're approaching this?
I'm working with a gentleman at the moment who is considering a number of different careers. So he has been working as a teacher for his whole career. He's a mathematical teacher, so he's got a very strong analytical side as well. He's also very interested in technology. I've been talking to him about careers such as data analytics, UX, which is user experience, potentially working in ed tech, in product development or sales. So he's looking at a number of different options. So what I've recommended to him is that he, first of all, do the research, and that might be online research, it might be using LinkedIn, it might be using his network to try and find people to talk to. But then the next step, which is really important, is finding some little career experiments. And so that means actually testing his ideas to see whether it's something he might enjoy. So an example of that might be a little $30 course or like on Udemy where he can do a data analytics course to test that idea or to go and do a workshop and learn more about UX, for example.
What about work experience as a mature age?
I love the idea of work experience. I often call it more job shadowing. And I think if you can find someone who's working in the field you're interested in and ask them, is there an opportunity to job shadow them? Like that is absolutely gold. Not always possible, but it's definitely worth asking people whether that would be an option.
A recent New York Times article points out that lots of Gen X creatives are finding it hard to get work now and are having to adapt. How does technology and changing work roles affect our career crossroads? Do you think we'll see more of this with AI? I know people who are already saying, I'm a copywriter, and those jobs are not available anymore.
Absolutely. I've been saying that for years before AI, particularly creative careers. So graphic designers, for example, people in those sort of more creative film editing, etc. In the past, they could find a permanent full-time job and they really just had to rely on their technical creative skills. Now they have to really build other skills, particularly around the ability to hustle and sell themselves. They need to build a strong personal brand using platforms such as LinkedIn or freelancer websites, and they need to network. So they can't just rely on those technical creative skills. They need to really be building those people-centric skills to be able to create opportunities for themselves.
You're with Lisa Leong for This Working Life on ABC Radio National. I'm speaking with career and interview coach Leah Lambert about the increasing number of workers experiencing career regret and what you can do about it. How helpful is a career break as an intervention, and is it only for Nepo babies or people with cash under their mattress? You'll find out next. But first, I'd love to hear from you. If you have experienced career regret, how did you handle it? And what lessons can you share for others who might be at a career crossroad? You can email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. Leah, in a moment we're going to hear from Annie Louie, who has written a story about career breaks for ABC News. How helpful and useful are career breaks to help you when you're at a career crossroad?
I think career break, for some people, it's a great idea, particularly if they're getting close to burnout and they really need to take a step back, look after their well-being. And I definitely encourage that if people, particularly if they've got a lot of stability behind them. So say, for example, a client who's been working in the same career for 10 or 15 years or even with the same company, it's, you know, they really perhaps need that time to step out and really reevaluate and consider what they want to do next. For someone who has perhaps moved around a lot more, or they might be in a career area where perhaps there's a lot of competition in the market, and, you know, perhaps they really need to think about what that can do to their career if they do step out for too long, a short break might be okay. But if it's over 12 months or something like that, that might make it a little bit more difficult for them to get back into the market. So I think a career break, you need to consider it carefully depending on your background, the career area you're in. So there's quite a lot of factors, I believe, that need to be considered.
And how do you make sure a career break doesn't end up just being sleeping in and getting a bit slothful? What could you suggest people do to move the process along?
If we're talking about someone who is considering a career change, that career break can be absolutely an amazing opportunity to do some of those experiments that I was talking about previously. So that might be getting out and having information interviews with people about different career areas, doing some little short courses. They don't need to be expensive. There's a lot of free online courses that are fantastic. It might be some job shadowing or volunteering and going and spending some time in an organization to build networks, but get a feel like, do I want to work in a not-for-profit, for example? Like, is this an environment that I can see myself in? So I think they need to keep themselves busy doing activities that will help them work out some of those, I guess, help them make better decisions if they're using that to work out what they want to do next.
Let's talk about people who can't afford a career break. How can we do it maybe conceptually, Leah?
Again, think about job crafting, think about internal opportunities. It might be having a bit more of a portfolio career. Again, perhaps they can scale back a little bit at work, but then do something more meaningful. For example, a client of mine, she's an accountant. She wanted to do something more meaningful, but decided she didn't want to take a step back and study and do something like become a nurse. So she scaled back to 4 days, and on her fifth day, she takes her dog, which she's trained to be a therapy dog, and she goes into hospitals and nursing homes, etc. And that sort of fills up her bucket for doing something meaningful without having to have a massive career change.
Leah, what's your best piece of advice for those at a career crossroads and considering a change?
I have lots of advice. Probably my biggest number one is it's not an event, it's a journey. And that means identifying the options, thorough research and experimenting. So don't put too much pressure on yourself to make a decision. Be curious, get out and talk to as many people as you can and find ways to design little experiments to test your ideas.
Thank you so much, Leah.
Thanks, Lisa.
Leah Lambert is a career and interview coach. Annie Louie is a celebrant, comedian and writer. who has both taken a career break and written a story about others taking them for an ABC News article. Hi, Annie.
Hello. Great to be here.
Have you ever experienced career regret yourself?
I had a career in public service before I went into comedy full time. So I definitely followed the traditional path of you have to finish school, go to university, get a degree, start working a graduate job. And part of me still has a bit of regret that I didn't continue on that path. Like, where would I be now? I'd probably be a manager working in transport and infrastructure, and I'd probably own a home by now. So there's been a few friends that I've had recommendations for to help them get a job in government, and I've seen them continuously get to the next level, be able to provide for themselves and get that stability. So that's probably my one itch, but it doesn't hurt me too much because I love going around the shopping centres in the middle of the day and it's just me and the pensioners and we have a grand time not being bothered by anyone.
So you mentioned a couple of things there in terms of your career regret. So one was stability and the other one was owning a home. So the money side, how important are those factors?
Currently, I feel it's getting more and more important because I'm getting into my 30s and I feel like I want to live outside of home. But a lot of the time with a comedian's lifestyle, you're living out of a suitcase anyway. So I think that busyness has probably masked the desire to have a home. But once you've been around the world and you've travelled and lived out of a suitcase, you go, oh, I just really want a place to myself. And having lived in share houses with other creatives and things, and I remember there was a share house that was disbanded and I was pulling weeds out because we had to do the final clean. And I thought, I never want to be doing this for somebody else again.
That's the test. Who are you pulling weeds out for?
Exactly.
Why take a career break?
I think it's that finding your passion piece.
There are some people who think, mate, you get paid to do a job. You should just do the job.
Yeah. That's where I think the generational differences come in because I think in the past you had a job and you needed it to live and support your family. But now we've got so many different choices, probably overwhelming actually. So to help you narrow it down and find out why work, it's really important to sit with that and think about it.
So you mentioned that you might take a career break in order to find your passion. How does a career break do that?
Time and silence is what gave me that space to explore because in the past I had been doing a lot of things for other people. Whenever I got a job, I felt a lot of dread. And now I really want to go in the path of what makes me feel good. Like there's an internal sense, an intuition we get from being offered something and you know if you want to go for it or not. Or is it someone, even your parents' expectations? Is it your boss's expectations to do that thing? And it has been a complete reset on that. And now I feel much happier with the jobs that I get. And if the ones I miss out on, they weren't for me, I don't regret that.
Tell me about the career break that you took.
I went over to Hong Kong and I didn't know how long I would be there for. So I really thought I was moving possibly for a few years. So I said goodbye to all my friends. And the last few years I had been hustling a lot amongst my friendship group and amongst the comedy community. They would describe me as a hustler, like Annie's a go-getter. She's just getting every opportunity. And so I thought I can easily replicate that in a new city. So, you know, I was there to network and had a few contacts already.
So it wasn't meant to be a career break. It was meant to just move your career, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So I really thought, you know, jumping out of the country and then back in again, you'll be able to level up. So when people said, oh, you know, it's such a luxury for them to be able to afford a career break, for me, I didn't want to be lazy at all. I'd been very driven my whole life. So to feel that suddenly when I got there, I wanted to disappear. So I just spent the days resetting and thinking about not much. Like I had this pressure still for the first few weeks of I feel so guilty about taking a break from work because all of my peers, and especially in Hong Kong, freelancing is not a thing. You know, you can't sustain yourself with such high rent by not having a stable income. So not having to pay rent really helped me be able to afford the time to get better at cooking, to be able to try different hobbies and yeah. But, you know, I wouldn't have had time to even think about that stuff back in Australia.
So where are you now? What emerged for you in this career break?
I have clarity and it's still ongoing. I think I didn't expect to come back and feel like the realizations just keep coming. But this is something that other people have told me in my DMs. They've said, I did a career break 20 years ago and it was the best thing I ever did. And so it's really cool to see people have that perspective, because I want to know, when I'm 50, how will I feel about that time?
Now, you've done this fantastic article about career breaks and you interviewed a whole bunch of people, and you've mentioned some of them so far, but what are the themes that emerge for you doing this research?
People finding peace, people prioritizing their mental health over finances, and also the mundanity of everyday life has unlocked something in them. So we got a little taste of that during COVID, where people had to step back and figure out, oh, all we can do is walk, so what can we learn from this? But then it ended and we threw ourselves back into working maybe two or three times harder than we used to. So it is for these people in the years since, doing it themselves, taking a step back voluntarily and assessing, okay, what do I need to be doing? So for me, it's those tiny things like having a coffee in the morning, having time to stare at nothing.
What else would you pass on to this working life as about being at a career crossroads then?
I've always been someone who likes to try everything and then through elimination decide what I really like to do. So I think I would really encourage other people to do that and to even free yourselves from the shackles of, oh, that's not for me, I could never do that, because I don't think it's ever too late to try something different or to choose to be happy or see things in a more simpler light. So even allowing yourself a few seconds to imagine what your life would be like without work, what would you do and not feel guilty about that? I think that's a huge step forward for some people, because it is very intimidating to imagine what's your identity if you didn't have work.
What's that for you?
For me, I think I've been writing down a lot of achievements each day. This is an exercise that my therapist gave me. And for 5 minutes, I've been writing even small achievements, and I'm not allowed to repeat one. So if something already came up yesterday, I'm not allowed to write it again. So for me, it's those really tiny things, like today I took the dog out and let someone pat her. It's so small, you know, it's so small. I started a conversation with a stranger and pat on the back, you know. So it's really realigned how I see achievements, because I've been a very achievement-oriented person. If what's a day without having gone to work and made money? But now I see things in a very different way. So I'm not as harsh on my friends either. You know, I see them for being a great friend. What a great achievement already. You know, you're a good parent. You're a good pet owner. Like, the standards are really low and we place so much pressure on ourselves and on other people.
I love that. Thanks so much, Annie.
No worries.
Annie Louie is a celebrant comedian and writer who's experienced and interviewed others about career breaks. We're going to put up a link to Annie's story in our show notes. And you can hear more from Annie in an upcoming episode of Background Briefing as well. Next up, we'll get some final tips about how to handle a career crossroads in Try This. Leah Lambert is a career and interview coach for Try This. Here are her expert tips for changing careers.
My first tip would be, consider your transferable skills. No one starts from scratch, so there's always many skills that you can take into different careers. Secondly, do your research. You really need to consider what different careers are out there. And finally, just consider small career experiments and micro shifts. You don't have to make the big change all at once.
Try these tips from Leah and let us know how you go. You can email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. And let's give the final word to Victoria, who responded to my post on LinkedIn about career regret.
I aspired to be a newscaster as a teenager, but didn't quite get there. However, I believe the skills required, inquisitiveness, flair for engagement, and ability to convey your message, are skills I've brought into most of the roles I've had. I feel we may not get the exact role we desire, but we could still exercise the required skills.
Thank you so much, Victoria, and you can jump on LinkedIn as well to share your career regret. Here's some feedback from you on our stories and things you've tried to make your work life better. Our story about leisure crafting a few weeks back drew this response from Bridget.
Running is my leisurecraft activity, especially thanks to the worldwide phenomenon of parkrun. I started running just on Saturday mornings after a lot of practice walking 5K, but now I run 5 to 6 times a week. It is the time in my day where my mind is almost empty, and that gives me the refresh and the recharge that I need in order to be my best version of myself at work.
Well done, Bridget. And we got this response from Sarge. He writes, I've been a movie buff since I was a kid. I started doing something with this passion a few years ago when I started unpacking films with a friend for Channel 31 on a program called The Film Whisperers. This then led to the next bit. Last year, I started a podcast with my friend Alice, where we record and release episodes every week where we unpack a film from the past to decide if it stands the test of time. I absolutely love it, writes Sarge. It's a great way to nerd out about film and chat to someone who brings passion to something outside of work. That is great leisure crafting. Thank you, Sarge. And our episode on slow productivity with Cal Newport prompted Penn to send us this email. I practice Cal's principle of obsessing over quality by taking several short breaks throughout the day, sometimes even a 60-second walk around the office, as that is when answers and innovation arrive in my mind and I realise how to improve the standard of a big or tiny project instead of racing zombie-like from one task to the next never-ending list of tasks. Although management says they are focused on quantity and so-called efficiency, they're much more likely to reward the high-quality tasks I complete rather than a large volume of averageness. Great insights. Thank you so much, Penn. We read all of your emails and love getting your feedback about the show, so please keep them coming. The email address is thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. And you can find our episodes about leisure crafting and slow productivity with Cal Newport in our feed on the ABC Listen app. Thanks for listening to This Working Life with me, Lisa Leong. If you haven't already, search for This Working Life on the ABC Listen app and tap the heart to follow all of our stories. This episode was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Tim James. We're on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. And until next time, love your work.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.